When the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. Proverbs 29:2. What makes life so difficult for us? Well, there are the obvious things such as money, family, friends, and work. But there is something that is deeper within a person, much deeper. For their many desires and ambitions may lead to excessive greed, and everything becomes for our time and with our money. Some will pursue power, and they will say, "Let me influence or drive things my way. Let others do my bidding," and they will progress everything through force and control. And while power can come with a heavy hand, it can also come by manipulation. We're using victimhood, get someone what they want, and they don't have to consider the cost to anyone. Nothing is their fault because they're always on the receiving end of the wrongs. But Jesus says that what comes out of a man comes out of his heart, and that is the truth of who that man is. The heart is the seat of physical life, the seat of moral and spiritual life, the seat of grief, of joy, of desires, of afflictions, of understanding, reasoning, imagination, conscience, purpose, the will, and of our faith. We all know that the heart is responsible for life. If it stops beating, life ends. It was designed for response. If the body is in distress, it will respond to persevere. It can be broken or made to smile, be made glad, but without a functioning heart, silence fills the ears and darkness covers the eyes. The heart can be repaired. It can be recharged and replaced in these days. It's amazing to even consider, but its physical appearance is only a part of its amazement. There is a much deeper side to the heart, and that is in the relationship it has to its Creator, for it has its laws, His laws, written on it. And whether we know Him in a relationship or not, we still are without excuse as to what is right and what is wrong, and we have a view of the natural order of creation. Romans 2:14-15, indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law, since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. We live in fear. We are weak in heart. We pursue the easy path, turning down the battles to keep righteousness and truth before the people. And we have allowed a culture of death to rise up with its cause of punishing life, being sick of heart. When righteous men do not confront evil, then there is no one to stand and defend the weak in body and mind. And when we close our eyes so as not to have to see what is actually taking place, then we allow the broken to suffer that much more. And when we close our ears to their cries in the night, we take for granted the grace that God has shown us. And we hoard what we have been given through our salvation, and we let the suffering suffer. Why then do we continue to follow our hearts when we know that the heart is deceitful above all things, that it is beyond cure? The Lord is the only one who truly knows a person's heart. He understands the mysteries of it, not just the physical working of it, but of the intricacies buried deep in its chambers. Without the Lord in one's life, the heart will convince that person that good is bad and that bad is good, while under the intoxicating influence of the sinful nature. A person's heart can fool that person, but it can't fool God. What we are actually witness to today is what the Bible calls a falling away, where people's hearts will grow cold and indifferent to God. It is easier for a person to fall into line than lead the line in a charge. And it is easier to go to the middle of the line rather to engage in what may be the worst of the battle to be fought. Or maybe, just maybe, there will be enough others willing to sacrifice their lives so you won't be called for such a time. It's funny how the heart and the mind can work together and work yet so hard against each other. Look at the movies today. Look at daily news. Have you looked at social media much lately? There's a constant need for attention, a constant need for look at me, see who I am. And in that need, the call for truth is being completely ignored. The airways are filled with repeated statements that soon become claimed as fact, and a threat is put up to those who may think to prove it otherwise. The sleight of hand in our culture today is done with such precision that the movement of all its parts makes it nearly impossible to be proactive, but calls for constant reactions. And too many steal today, too many kill, too many have become too crafty with their tricks, their tongues, their promises, and of how they are worded. Secrets and lies echo from the mountains, and the seas roar with disappointment and slanderous gossip, and yet no one hears the cries in the streets or the pain that pierces the nation. It is the heart that defends and protects a person, and it is the heart that will condemn a person. One person can be found walking with the Lord while the other person stands condemned, because what he believes and what he does while encouraging others will show that his heart stands contrary to everything that God is. These are two opposing views, two opposing lifestyles, two sets of desires and beliefs of faith, and they then bring us to where we are today, November of 2024. And just a couple of days before the hearts of the people in America will reveal themselves to God in the world as the 2024 election cycle comes to a close. You'll notice I did not say that the American people will be revealed, because contrary to what you may listen to for your news and information, there are people who are not citizens of the United States who are and will be voting in this election. It shouldn't be so, nor should it even be an option, but many people have come to our shores, people who do not share the framers' constitutional values, which are those things that set America apart from other nations. There is an abundance of people groups who share only a common soil, a common land, and nothing else, and they will be casting their vote to try to find a common thread of agreement, thin and fragile as that thread may be. And so she who once stood as a beacon on a hill, now from the shadow spews forth perverse and unholy demands upon the nations that she once helped care for. And she who once fought for life and liberty now prefers slumber and war at the same time. And she struggles to remember who she was or why she came about. And she has forgotten who brought life to her and sustained her until she turned her back to him. You see, the Jews thought themselves to be a holy people. They thought they were entitled to their privileges by right. And while they were unthankful and rebellious and unrighteous, but all who act thus, of every nation, age, and description, we must be reminded that the judgment of God will be according to our real character. The case is so plain that we may appeal to sinners' own thoughts in every willful sin. There is contempt of the goodness of God. And through the branches of man's disobedience are various ills, and all spring from the same root. But in true repentance there must be hatred of the former sinfulness, from a charge wrought in the state of mind which disposes it to choose good and to then refuse the evil. It shows also a sense of inward wretchedness. And such is the great change wrought in repentance. It is conversion, and it is needed by every human being. For the ruin of sinners is their walking after a hard and impenitent heart. Their sinful doings are expressed by the strong words, treasuring up their wrath. And in the description of the just man, notice the full demand of the law. It demands that the motive shall be pure and rejects all actions from earthly ambition or ends. In the description of the unrighteous, contention is held forth as the principle of all evil. The human will is in a state of enmity against God. Even Gentiles who had not the law written on them had that within which directed them to do right by the light of nature. Conscience is a witness, and the first or last will bear witness. As they kept or broke these natural laws and dictates, their consciousness either acquitted or condemned them. Nothing speaks more terror to sinners and more comfort to saints than that Christ shall be the judge. Secret services shall be rewarded, secret sins shall then be punished and brought to light. Matthew Henry on Romans 2. This election cycle is about issues of life and death, and that is literally what is on the ballot. And they have been presented in packages with pretty bows and ribbons, with the truth of the darkness in them being withheld and hidden. Today we are called to righteous action, And that means that we must act and not sit out what we consider too distasteful for us to get up and act on. When we remain silent to the evil that is around us, we are conforming to it in subtle ways, but nevertheless, we are conforming to it. And it is time for Christians to take a stand against evil and for the church, you and I, to find our voices. Elections have consequences. Please don't let the generations that may yet come while the Lord tarries suffer for our sin and lack of righteous actions. The Lord hears the cries of the broken. Do you? Heavenly Father, help those who lack understanding to understand the times we are in. Help those who have become content and complacent to see beyond themselves. And help us all, Lord. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please, please get out and vote. It's your duty as a Christian and as a citizen.